How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your statutes, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Your commandments. I shall give thanks to You with the brightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to God's word. Let's start by turning in God's word to the book of Genesis, around chapter, wherever Joseph is. We'll be looking in Genesis chapter 39. Before we do that, though, I will start us with a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank You for another opportunity that You've given us, a chance to talk about Your Word, to talk about how You're at work in our lives, and how You've been at work in my life in Ukraine over the last year. Just thank You for this opportunity to encourage my brothers and sisters here, that You would bless this time together. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I already gave the first part of my report last week, and I had a lot of pictures and talked about all the fun stuff there. This week there will be a lot fewer pictures. I didn't even bring my laptop. But I will talk about more verses. I want to talk more about the spiritual side of what I've been through in the last year, and things I've learned, and verses especially that have been helpful to me. There are three main characters in the Bible that have been kind of examples to me. And Joseph is one of them, as a young man who is taken to a country far away from his home place. And he found favor in the eyes of all that were there. I wasn't exactly in slavery. I wasn't exactly in prison in Ukraine. But there is the example of Joseph as he maintained his integrity and he found favor in all that he worked for. And I actually won't talk too much about Joseph himself, but I do want to talk about Moses. So let's turn to Moses, or Exodus, chapter 4. The other example I could talk about would be Daniel. Again, he was a young man that was taken to a country far away from home, and he was described as handsome in form and appearance, so there's a lot of similarities there. He was very wise. He was instructed in the literature and the language of the country where he was taken, and then he rose to political power, so did Joseph, for that matter. So I'm waiting to be Prime Minister of Ukraine next year. So that hasn't happened yet. But the third example, and the one I want to talk about most, is Moses. And as he is, he grew up as a prince for the first 40 years of his life, and then he ran away to the land of Midian, and it's here at the burning bush. And he's making all kinds of excuses. God's telling him that he has a job to do. He's given a ministry. He doesn't have to worry about finding the will of God. God tells him the will of God right there. We will start talking about the will of God next week. But as a preview, this is not something that we do today. We don't look for burning bushes in our backyard. If there is a burning bush in your backyard, you should put it out. But we can start with Exodus chapter 4. We could even start in chapter 3. In 3:13, then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And so this is very clearly the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is personally telling Moses, "Go to my people and deliver them out of Egypt." And then he gives them signs in chapter 4. And Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from it." He's already afraid. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and It became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, Now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, Put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs, or heed what you will say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the dry ground. The water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So he's not only given a direct word from the Lord, speaking out of the burning bush, he's given these signs, he's given wonders. Prophets were given these signs to demonstrate the authority that they had from God, and it was a testimony that they were really from God if they could perform these miracles and these signs. And yet Moses is still doubting. Something else we'll talk about next week is that God doesn't give us signs like this. Then Moses said to the Lord, Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with you, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. And this was an encouragement to me, especially living in Ukraine and trying to speak in Russian. And I made excuses frequently while I was there, and I was given an opportunity to speak and said, well, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue, and I don't speak very well in Russian. And it was a real test. It was a real discouragement at first. But then God showed me this verse several times through several different teachers, and it's a real encouragement that God has made man's mouth. He is the one who's speaking through me anyway. I'm not the one that's speaking up here tonight. And then God provided the ability, and I was able to learn a good deal of Russian. That was all thanks to him, of course. Makes him seeing or blind. We were just talking about Fanny Crosby before I started, and I mentioned Valentina last week, the blind lady that I was able to minister with many times over the year, and she says the same thing, that she is looking forward, that the next face she's going to see is going to be the face of her Savior. And so for her, it's not even a bother that she hasn't been able to see for 50 years. So she knows what she's looking forward to, and she's expecting that with expectation. So Moses has been an encouragement to me. Other areas of difficulty. Last week, maybe I gave the image that everything was wonderful in Ukraine, that I had just a lot of fun, and I can't wait to go back and see all my friends. And it is true, it was fun, and it was very edifying and encouraging, but there were also discouragements. And so Dan was saying, well, why didn't you talk about any of those? And I was able to talk with him over Skype throughout the year, and both with him and with Radley and Fallon, a real encouragement to me, and with my family, of course. And so they're aware of a lot more of what's been going on over the year, and I didn't explain all of that. The discouragements with the visa testing I wanted to talk about. I bought a 5-year multi-entry visa last summer, and it was declared expired in September 10th. It was not something I was expecting. When I bought a 5-year visa, I was expecting it to be good for 5 years. The government changed their laws and said, no, you need a different type of visa. It's a type D instead of a type B or whatever it was. And so I lost money with that because I had paid $330 for the visa, and there was testing as far as was I going to trust in God. And where the money comes from, it really comes from God, and it was a test to rely on Him, of course. And God provided. He provided for a plane ticket to fly to Switzerland. He provided for the visa there. He provided for a plane ticket back. And And it was a testimony also to the other students there. I was able to ask them for prayer, and they were coming alongside me there. Another area of testing was with regard to work. There were opportunities for me to work in Ukraine. There's well-paying jobs in teaching English, and I know English, and I was considering doing that. But as I mentioned last week, the students of Word of God Bible College, Slovo Bozhie Biblijski College, they are told not to work. That we are told we are supposed to be full-time students. We're supposed to spend our time in the Word. Supposed to spend our time in our studies and our homework. And we are not to be worried about earthly things as far as making money and working. And so they give us a monthly stipend in order to pay for groceries. It's not a lot, but it is enough to live on. And yet there was that testing, that temptation there. There were several different offers, actually, for teaching English and also doing some work with websites, things that I had the skill set to do and would have been extra money, would have paid well. I would have been able to eat at McDonald's more often. But I prayed about it and determined that that was not what I was supposed to do. So I did not work while I was in Ukraine, and determined that I would have to work this summer. I'm working this summer in order to earn my plane ticket back and to pay for the visa. I still haven't paid off. I had been expecting this summer to work with the same job that I worked for last year with Word Search, and I'd been expecting that all year. And then I found out the Friday before I left Ukraine that that I wasn't going to work out. They didn't have anything for me to do. And so that was a test there, just as far as wasn't something I expected. I was in Mirgorod with Ola there the last Friday in Ukraine, so I got the news and we just started praying, and the encouragement there was we knew that God would have something better. And I knew that if God didn't have that job for me, which I thought at the time was the best job ever, I thought it was working with a Christian company, was working with Bibles and with computers, I thought it was wonderful. And yet, as good as I thought it was, obviously God thought there was something better for me to do. And sure enough, he has provided amazingly. I sent out an email to the church, and I'm sure most of you saw it, Tuesday morning after I got back in town, saying that things didn't work out and I'm looking for a job, and within 2 hours someone had called and offered me with a job that is not only a job, it's also a ministry, and that's really what I've been praying for, is a job that's not just a way to make money, but a way to serve while I'm here. And it's been a tremendous blessing. I've already been working with Mitch 3 weeks, and he is a believer. We've been able to just talk about things of the Word. He's been asking me to pray to read the Bible to him and encourage him. And it's been a blessing to see how God provided beyond what I could ask or think, something I didn't expect, and yet he provided for it. There's a verse, Jeremiah 29:11, that I'm sure you have all heard before. It's a verse that's always taken out of context. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." People like to read that verse and claim it for themselves. The problem is that it's in the context. It's talking to Israel. We are not Israel. We can't claim Israel's promises. And yet, there's the principle that as we are not only the nation, the chosen nation, we are the chosen bride of Christ. And, of course, he prepares for us as well. And he has a future and a hope for us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. His plan is perfect. And his will is perfect. We're going to talk about his will starting next week, as far as the will of God and his sovereign will that we can't change, we can't do anything about, and then his specific will for our lives and how we need to determine that, how we need to find that. That in itself has been an ongoing kind of a subject of discussion between the students and especially with my friend Pasha over the year. And actually it was just amazing. In my friendship with Pasha, we disagreed over a lot of things, and yet we were still able to be friends because that's how it works in Christ. You can be brothers and disagree over small things of doctrine that aren't major differences, and yet still have fellowship there. And this one point was, does God have a specific will, or does he allow us, does he give us freedom to do as we choose? And I'm of the conviction that God has a specific will for our lives. And Pasha said, no, he doesn't really give a hoot. Now, this is his phrase, that God doesn't really give a hoot. Not that he doesn't care about us, but that he gives us freedom, and as far as which choice you make, he doesn't give a hoot. And so I told him that I was going to steady on this more, and that at some point I was going to teach a sermon called The Specific Hoot of God. And so that'll be next week. Because Pasha would agree that God has a general will, and that he gives us a range of choices, so it's a more of a general hoot. But I still contend that there's a specific hoot. And it was a discussion with him. There's also a discussion with one of the professors that used the phrase, I am a free man, created in God's image, created with volition. And I am free to do whatever I choose so long as I don't sin. And based on how you define that, that would either, how I define those terms would lead to a specific will, how he would define those terms would lead to a general will with human freedom. And we will talk about all of that next week. As far as one of the things that I learned in Ukraine, one of the big things was being exposed to people that disagreed. If you spend all of your time here in this church, you will mostly find that you agree. Because we've been under the same teaching. And it's not that we agree with everything that our pastor says, but we, like the Bereans, we search the scriptures to see if these things are so. And yet, as each professor would come through, there would be little things that I would find that, oh, I've heard that taught differently, or, oh, I don't agree with that entirely. And they're not major differences in doctrine. We're not denying the Trinity. We're not adding works to salvation, nothing like that. But differences such as the specific will of God, differences such as the teaching of the fullness of times. We've heard about the fullness of times that comes after the millennium so many times, and yet none of the professors would teach on that. They're just different areas of doctrine that are taught differently, and they're taught as they are convicted, and they don't separate us, they don't separate our fellowship, they don't shake our faith. My faith was not shaken by any of these differences that occurred. But it was very valuable to me to be exposed to these differences and to have the opportunity to search the scriptures and see if these things are so. And, not only to know what it is I believe, but know how to back it up with verses, to defend it. And so that is very valuable to know how to do that. Also, regarding different teaching, one of the things I didn't mention last week that I got to do in Mirgorod, I got to visit their church. And they are not a church that is similar to our style of teaching. They are charismatic, and they spend a lot of their time singing. And I didn't take any pictures, is why I didn't talk about it last week. And yet I learned something very valuable while I was there. They didn't have a time of teaching, but they did have a time where the pastor stood up and gave a word of encouragement. And as he was talking, he mentioned that there are 15 churches in the city of Mirgorod, which is a city of only 50,000 people. And he said, you know, there are 15 churches in this city that are worshiping God, that are giving glory to Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, they don't all agree with our denomination. There are all kinds of different denominations, and he was even including Orthodox in that. And yet, he says, we don't agree on everything. But at the same time, we are worshiping the same Jesus Christ. And immediately I thought of Philippians chapter 1. Let's go ahead and turn there. During this time when the pastor was speaking, he opened up the floor for anyone else that had something they wanted to say, some word of encouragement, something that was going on in their lives. And it's very different from how we do things here. And I almost stood up to share this passage, but I didn't. But in Philippians chapter 1, we have Paul who is preaching the gospel. And even while he's in prison, starting in verse 12 of chapter 1, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And I love this, how Paul is rejoicing that Christ is being proclaimed even from selfish motives. And then even if people are giving the gospel not for the glory of God, for their own glory, for selfish ambition, for even to attack Paul, what they were trying to do there, causing him distress, even so, Christ is being preached and Christ is being glorified. And this was encouraging to me to see how in this church they were recognizing this fact that we don't all agree on everything, and yet we are serving the same Lord. And that was another very valuable lesson for me in being exposed to these other forms of teaching, these other churches, these other brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, even on the complete other side of the world. And I think it is very valuable to be exposed to other believers like that, especially if you have a chance to take a foreign mission trip. It was interesting, as I consider Ukraine a foreign country from here. They were also sending missionaries out. They took a trip to Zambia, which Pastor Jim talked about a little bit. And he took one of his church members there with him. And she gave a report when they came back, and she was saying, you know, similar things to what I'm saying here, as far as how she was able to meet other believers in this other country and how they live very differently, and how just their whole culture, the whole way of life is different from everything that she was used to, and yet they are brothers and sisters. They are family, and they are serving the same God. And I thought that was very neat. And so I do encourage everyone that I meet that if you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, definitely pray over it and consider it. It's not everyone is going to be a missionary. We all are missionaries. We just may not all be in foreign countries. A missionary is someone that has a mission, someone who has a message. And we all have a message. We're all ambassadors because we are not citizens of earth anyway. We're citizens of heaven. So wherever you are a missionary. Other things. Some of the discouragements I had in the youth group. From the beginning, it was the issue of translation, the issue of not having a translator trying to speak in Russian. The first time that I did, I thought I was doing okay. Of course, I was stumbling on every other word anyway. And then at the end, someone told me, you know, we could barely understand what you were talking about. Why didn't you ask for a translator? Thanks. one person said that, and then yet someone else said, you know, you really encouraged me. Thank you. And so, obviously, it wasn't me doing the talking anyway. Language barriers notwithstanding, God is able to work through that. And then, at a different time, there was, right before one message, someone who shall remain unnamed told me, you know, last week I thought that your lesson was really terrible, that it seemed very disconnected and very unorganized, and I didn't think you made your point very well. I said, thanks. And so, of course, I was very discouraged. This was right before I was about to start speaking. So I quickly made it through the message and left as quickly as I could after that. And then the next week he said, you know, I thought that was so much better. It seemed well organized and logical, and I thought that was my worst. The time that he thought was disorganized, I thought was my best message ever. And then the time when I was discouraged after that, I thought I was rambling like I am now. He said that was wonderful, and it's just more testimony that it's not me doing the talking anyway. As good as I think I'm doing, it's nothing. Nothing that we can do can be pleasing to God, and that's really the standard we need to hold ourselves to. Not, am I pleasing to this critic in my youth group, but am I being pleasing to God? And that's really the measuring stick that we need to use. Another thing I talked about in the youth group was how to be pleasing to God, and how to, not how we need to be good enough. My title of the message was How to Be Good Enough. And yet the real title was How to Be Perfect. Because God doesn't tell us how to be good enough. He tells us that we need to be perfect. To be perfect as your Father is perfect. Be holy as He is holy. We have a perfect standard. And that is a standard we cannot attain on our own. It's a standard that we have to obtain through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Anything that we think is good enough is obviously not, because our standard is not the same as His. Another message that I gave to the youth group was, most of the messages, actually every message that I gave to the youth group, they were not in a series, they were not organized logically, kind of like my message right now. But there was something that I had learned personally, either just that week or something, that had been encouraging to me and that I wanted to share. And I wanted to share with the youth there. I learned something kind of profound out of the book of John. And of course, I forgot exactly where the verse is. That Jesus is saying that I have come that you may have joy, that your joy may be made complete. Could someone help me find that verse, please? Looking chapter 10. Thank you. Yeah, it was a great verse, very encouraging to me, and I have no idea where it is. John 15:11. Let's start before that. In John 15, in the upper room discourse, Jesus is talking about abiding in Him, abiding in the Father, as the vine and the branches, and how He is our example. He's saying, abide in Me just as I abide in the Father. Where do I want to start? Start in verse 7. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. Just as the Father has loved Me, I have also loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And the word for being made full is to be made complete, to be made perfect. And I love how it describes my joy, the joy that belongs to Jesus, may be in you, but then at that point it becomes your joy, that your joy may be made complete, may be made perfect. And this was one of our memory verses when Pastor Jim gave us a lot of memory verses to work on every time he taught in the college. And it just hit me. Wait a minute, this means that I'm supposed to have joy. This means that God wants me to be happy. And, you know, it's not the first time I had heard this verse, and yet in my own thinking I'd always describe joy as, well, it's definitely not the ecstatic, bouncing off the walls, being happy kind of thing. It just means having an inner contentment, an inner peace. And yet, that's not all it's saying. Yes, we need to have that peace in all circumstances, and we have that by trusting in Him. And yet, there's more than that. He wants us to have joy, to be able to rejoice, and that includes a measure of actual happiness. And it just struck me as strange that I hadn't thought of it that way before, and all my friends thought I was crazy. But you didn't think that God wanted you to be happy? And yet it is encouraging that even in the midst of all the testing that we have, that He gives to us, He gives it for our growth. And in the midst of all of that, He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have that joy. And He gives us the strength to do that. Another very encouraging verse to that is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. When I think about that verse, I think every time that, well, really, we can't bear anything. That every test is beyond what we are able to bear. But with God giving the way of escape, giving the endurance to be able to endure it, that we are able to bear every temptation because He gives us the provision. He gives us the help. He gives us the strength in order to endure it. And that's a very comforting thing. To know that every test that comes, He gives the provision. Philippians 4:19 as well. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you think that He is unable to supply, it means that you think He doesn't have infinite riches. He doesn't have all things. And yet our God is infinite, and He is able to provide beyond all that we can ask or think. And something else that I didn't discuss last week that I should have discussed was as far as what I'm going to do after college. And I didn't mention anything about it at all. I did say that I'm convicted over my gift, that I am a pastor. So I'm still training to that effect. But I don't know where I will be after college. So that's why I didn't say anything, because I don't know. I have not yet been convicted whether I'll return here, whether I'll remain in Ukraine, whether I'll go to Zambia or somewhere else. I don't know. I'm still praying over it, and I ask that you continue to pray with me over that. But my current consideration is to return here. Just based on what has been occurring in the ministry in Kiev, I wanted to talk about it some more. But the ministry is in a kind of state of transition right now. And Jim mentioned just a little bit about it, how Jim has now handed over the church leadership to Oleg. And he is now the head pastor of the church, although Jim will continue to teach. But there's a period of transition to how the church and the college will be run more by the local Ukrainians and less by Americans and less by American financial support. This is really something that Pastor Jim has been trying to do for a while, we had a number of men's meetings for all of the men in the church, for men who wanted to be involved in ministry. We had, on average, 10 to 20. We had a number of meetings on Saturdays, and each time Pastor Jim would talk for an hour, and just give some kind of a devotional and exhortation, and then he would say, you know, you need to step up, and you need to take leadership in this church, and you need to step up and serve. And the problem with so many ministries that get started in foreign countries, especially, it's a big thing in Ukraine, if they're started by an American, when the Americans leave, that ministry will die fairly quickly, because there's the novelty of listening to an American, and there's the financial support that comes from American churches. And that is definitely something that that Pastor Jim doesn't want for this Word of God church and for the college. He wants to be able to continue even after he's gone. He's not intending to leave, but he is preparing for that transition. And so we talked about it for months, and it was very interesting to me as well when Byron Shearer came to teach in November. He was speaking about the very same things, and he had no idea this was actually the situation going on in Kiev. But he was talking about how there's different stages of ministries when they get started. That when a ministry is first started in a foreign country, then okay, it's normal for all the support to be coming from the missionary, from American churches. And at the beginning, that's normal. And yet there needs to be a transition to where the natives there take over the ministry. And there's stages of growth, there's stages of transition. And just like we've talked about with spiritual gifts, and how in a church the pastor is not the only gift in the church, and all the spiritual gifts are intended to work together, and it's not just about not a one man show. And this is where the church and the college in Kiev are now. They are transitioning so that it'll be less and less of Jim, less and less of Americans, and more of Ukrainians stepping out to teach and to lead. And because of that, it is my consideration that as an American, I will not be involved long term with the church and with the college there. That could change, but that is my current consideration. As far as with that church there in Kiev, there are opportunities with other churches and other cities in Ukraine, possibly, or other places that speak Russian or that speak Ukrainian. And the answer right now is that I don't know as far as where I'll be. So continuing to pray about that and to seek the specific will of God for my life. Kind of been rambling on a number of different subjects. This is kind of just everything I thought of that I didn't talk about last week. Are there any other questions that I may have, something I mentioned or something else I didn't mention that you would like to hear about? Yes. Mm-hmm. Ohio. I forget the name of his town. He says it's a small city, a college town of 3,000 people, and there are 9 churches in view of his front door. And I forget the name of his church, the name of his town. Cedarville, yes. Cedarville, Ohio. And it was amazing to me with all the things we connected over, all the fellowship we were able to have that we had never met before. And he's just hadn't been to the conferences I'd been to and didn't know the same people. It was amazing because we agree on so many things. Yeah. Bradley, said something? Especially coming out of communism, the testing with, it's a very poor country, and there's a lot of temptation as far as trying to make it to America. It's the dream of so many people. They want to leave Ukraine, and not all of them want to come to America, but almost all of them want to leave Ukraine. It's strange. They have on one side they have a national pride. They like that they are Ukraine. They are not the Soviet Union. They are not Russia. Don't you dare call them Russia. And yet, so many of them don't like their country. They think that the government is all corrupt, and a lot of it is. So that's a struggle for them as far as respecting their leaders, praying for their leaders. And, they are wanting to leave. Most of it is for money. To try and find a better place where they can find a better job. And there's that. There's also just so much atheism that was there under the Soviet Union. And now those that are Christian, the statistics will say that it's a predominantly Christian nation. And that's because of Orthodox. They're majority Orthodox, and it's not doctrinal in any way, and they don't read their Bibles. And so that's a struggle for a lot of them. It was interesting in approaching the Orthodox worldview in the English Bible study that I did, that as we started at the beginning in Genesis 1, I explained what the Bible is, and yet I didn't have to explain too much about the existence of God. They at least assume that God exists, and they assume that God wrote the Bible. They may not have read the Bible, but I was able to at least use that as a starting point to say, well, this is what God said, and if God said this, then we need to pay attention to it. So, there's that. It's not all Greek Orthodox. There are actually several brands of Orthodox. There's Greek Orthodox, there's Ukrainian Orthodox, there's Ukrainian Catholic, there's, I think, one Greek Catholic church, however that works. Catholic is a minority compared to Orthodox, and yet there's already different branches of Orthodox. I'm not sure if any one of them is the official religion. Ukrainian Orthodox is the official? Okay. As far as I know, it's not in the schools at all. Yeah. As far as our students, no, we didn't experience that. But I thought that we had some great discussions about Israel. It's interesting, by the way, that the patron saint of Kiev is the Archangel Michael, who is actually supposed to be in Israel. But that Israel is still God's chosen people, and so we need to be supporting them and not aggressive to them as our government is. Anything else? I did get to go to the lobby twice, actually. Yeah. It'd be great if I had pictures. Of course, they say no pictures allowed, but the Pecherska Lavra is a large Orthodox church there, and they have caves underground. Pecherska actually means cave. And underneath these large, impressive church buildings, there are these caves, and these tunnels that have a lot of dead bodies in them. They have dead saints that you can go and pray to and kiss their bones, and it's a creepy place, but it's actually kind of cool. It's very dark. They've got candles on the walls, and it smells because they've got all this incense, and it's just overwhelming. And I hope you're not claustrophobic, but it was fun. As far as it was interesting, and at the same time, it's also sad to see. It was packed both times I went. Just so many people going through and stopping at every saint and saying a prayer, whatever it was they were doing. And this is their religion. This is what they're believing in. And it's wild. It's unlike anything that I've seen in the States, at least. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are Messianic Jews. Try to remember who it was, but one of the professors that came over went and he talked with a Jewish family. I don't remember who that was anymore, but they do exist in Ukraine. Yeah. Something else I could say about the Lavra. They have skulls. Anyway, most of the bodies are in these glass caskets, and they look very decayed, even though they say the Holy One, you will not allow it to undergo decay. They look very shriveled and black and gross. But they have these skulls that they have in jars of oil. And there's a story that Pastor Jim told at least four times each time that he spoke at our college. But they would talk about the saints and how holy they are. They would talk about grace. And there is one opportunity. I'm telling the story out of order. Jim was invited to teach at a Orthodox seminary. And just for one day to give a presentation on what do Protestants believe. And they wanted an actual Protestant professor to teach that. And so he used the opportunity to teach a free grace gospel. And he had a captive audience to teach 200 Orthodox students who were going to be pastors. And so he taught them, you know, this is what we believe differently. We believe in a free grace salvation and gospel. And when they were talking about being saved by grace through faith, and some of these Orthodox people agreed with that statement. And they said, okay, well, let's define these terms. What is grace? And they said, well, it's oil. And he said, what? But this oil, grace is oil that is found in the heads of these saints. And so when these saints die, they will drain the oil from their head. And however much oil they get, well, that's how holy they were. And so these certain saints, they have their skulls in these jars with their oil on display, so you can see how holy they were, because they had a lot of oil. It's bizarre, and yet they believe this stuff. So, that is one good lesson to define your terms whenever you're talking with anyone. You're not sure if you agree with their religion. Being saved by grace through faith, I agree with that. But what is grace? It's a free gift. It's not oil in the head. That's a good question, and I think you'd have to ask them. But my first impression would be that most of our church are older people, and so if that's any indication, I don't know. But yeah. Any other questions, or? For other churches, I guess just the one in Mirgorod, yeah. At first, I chose Slovo Bozhe because Pastor Jim teaches in English. But then, after that, even you know when he was gone, guest speakers spoke in Russian. But that is my church family over there, so that's where I went. they're connected in the sense that they have the same name. They're both Word of God, Bible Church, Bible College, and they're connected in the sense that Pastor Jim is the one that's started them both, and he's been running them both. I had thought that it was expected for each of the students to attend the church, but that was not enforced. About half of us did attend the church. Jim just said that as long as you are attending a church regularly, then if you already have a church you've been going to, you can keep going there. But if you don't, then I highly recommend ours. As we were each expected to have a ministry, and several of us were involved in ministries in the church. So, as far as other ways that they're connected, I guess that's about it. The students that come. As far as for leadership, yes. And actually, Oleg is already the administrator of the college, and now he's the pastor of the church. And again, Jim has no intention of leaving. He still intends to teach as long as they allow him to teach, like they're going to stop him. But most of the responsibility is on Oleg now. You have another question? Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe do potlucks for certain holidays. They're really big on holidays in Ukraine. So we had a potluck style after Christmas and Easter. We also have donuts and cookies and things after the Sunday evening, and spend more time with fellowship after the Sunday evening service. Mm-hmm. That's another thing was different for me, as far as they don't have a church building. We meet in a hotel conference room in the Sunday morning, and that's the location chosen because that's where the most the largest attendance is at the Sunday morning time. And that's the Bratislava Hotel by Darnitsa. I'm giving directions for no one that will be there. We do that Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening we actually meet at the college. And again, the college doesn't have its own building. It's an apartment that used to be Oleg's apartment, but now the college uses it full time. And so we meet there Sunday evenings with the church, meet for prayer, and then for Bible class in the evening. And then on Wednesday evenings we meet at a old school building by the Lyubobrezhna metro station. It's a creepy old school building, but it's virtually empty except for us in the evenings anyway. And some samurai that practice on the floor above us. That's another story. I should have shown pictures last week, but there's always this yelling in the middle of Bible class coming from above, and at first I thought it was like some sports team, maybe a basketball game going on the third floor. And I thought it was like large groups of people, and then one time I finally went up to investigate, and it was two people, and they were dressed in full samurai regalia. They had swords and they were fighting. It's kendo, is what it's called, and it's known. I looked it up on Wikipedia. It's known as the loudest form of martial arts, and they happened to practice from 5:30 to 7:30 at the place where we have church. So for the first half hour, anyway, it gets kind of loud. After that, they leave. I thought about joining them, but practices happen to conflict with church, so that didn't work out. Not sure. It's a suggestion, okay. There's those that would have abandoned their kids and others that there's a large problem with alcoholism in Ukraine, so there's a lot that are alcohol orphans. That was one opportunity. The first time that we went over, I was invited to speak at a youth, what do they call it, a delinquent center. They wanted me to go to the youth delinquent center, not to stay, but to teach, and that ended up not working out. I didn't get to go, but that is a problem there with... They do it on a completely different day. What day was Christmas this last year? Was it a Sunday? It was a Sunday, yes. They have it 2 weeks later. So it was on January 7th for me this year. As far as Christmas traditions, they don't have a lot, because they do all the gift giving and everything, the decorations, the even Christmas trees. They do that on New Year's. And so there were decorations in December and people getting ready, and yet all the gift giving and everything happened on New Year's Day. As far as Christmas, it's an Orthodox thing, and I was told that I really missed out. I should have gone to an all-night service on Christmas. They don't just have sunrise services, they have all-night services, and in an Orthodox church, there are no chairs. It's stand up the whole time, and apparently I really missed out on an opportunity there. That's a wonderful question. No. Really, for so many years, it's been Jim's ministry that's been supporting the church. And so they're not paying him. He's supporting them through the support that he raises from churches here in the States. And the same for the college. There is some level of giving from the church, but it's not enough to support a pastor. And with recent... there were recent changes, I guess, around December time. A number of people that had been on staff, paid for by Jim's ministry, were let go. They had, I don't remember how many they had on staff, but now there's just the pianist. Everyone else is now, you know, on a volunteer basis. Yeah. So that involved a lot of changes. There were changes in the choir, which struck me as bizarre. I had been singing in the choir for several months already, and then I found out that there were others in the choir that were being paid to be in the choir. I wasn't being paid, so. But then when they stopped paying the choir, then half the choir left. And but I still sang for free. Yeah. Well... As far as, I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that. But, for at least, there were two pastors that had been assistant pastors there. They were both, they had to find work because they have families they have to support. And for one of them, he's now working every Sunday. And for the other, he still hasn't found work. He's been teaching every time that Jim's away, and yet he's still trying to find work. So. Yeah. We have a sign that we put outside the room, and we have a sign we put outside the room. We don't get a whole lot of visitors that way, but really more of invitations just by word of mouth. For word of God, on Sunday mornings they would have say 40 to 60 depending on the Sunday. Sunday evenings, of course, in the college, there's much less space, but 20 to 30. Wednesday evenings, maybe 10. 10 would be a good number. And then in Mirgorod, they had 20 to 30. Yeah. And they actually had their own building. So it's kind of an old little building, but it was cute. Dad would have liked it. He likes old, cute church buildings. They exist. They will very rarely have their own buildings, but they'll meet several churches in a single building. You know, there's the Baptist church where we had the English Bible study. They had, I don't know, four different churches that meet in there because they have a building, so it's available. They have a lot of different small groups and church groups that meet in there. I don't know. Anything else, sir? We can go ahead and end it. End it in prayer. And if there are other questions, I'll be here all summer. And then next week we'll talk about the little guy. So. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the ministry in Ukraine. That you gave me the opportunity to be a part of it this last year, and pray for this next year as well, that opportunity would be there again, and for the future of the ministry there, for the students, for all in the church there. I just pray that they would seek your guidance and seek your will. Thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.